Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies, welcome to episode 176. Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. How you doing, Nate?
I'm doing great.
I thought you were going to say, I'm doing unbelievable.
I'm doing unbelievable.
That's right. I need that from you today. Oh, how you doing?
Hanging
for real.
In there,
this is like the reason I'm asking it the second time is because I need a real answer this time.
Oh. Well, really. How much time do you have?
No. Therapy session. No, I'm teasing.
Done with work, and now nice. I am on my week long vacation.
Oh, that's awesome. So you really are doing unbelievable then, right?
For now.
For now, for the moment. going on vacation with your family is always it's a wonderful thing, right?
Oh yeah.
I told you not. But yeah, that's cool then. I'm happy for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm heading into the rest of William's last baseball tournament. So they're doing the World Series for, you know, his age group and some of the others. So I think we have a game tomorrow at noon in Noblesville Field of Dreams, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not the Field of Dreams, but it's a Field of Dreams.
So how are you doing? I haven't had a chance to ask you that.
Oh, you know.
And you can lie.
This is where I just may. That's what, you know, this is how Todd feels. You know, Todd's always like, you never ask me back. Like, I honestly wouldn't have thought about it that way. But now that if I feel a little bit, I feel privileged. I really do. I'm fine, Nate. Thank you for asking.
Good.
I'm good. On a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being the best, I'm a 10 plus.
There you go. That's all we can
You said
hope
the
for.
Lie, right?
Oh, yeah. For sure.
No, I'm good. Yeah, but we're always good when we come here, so that's a great thing. I am going to read the sponsorship that we have now. We are honored to have them, and we are very grateful. So, are you tired of an itchy, unruly beard? Want a beard that looks great, feels amazing, and smells masculine and sexy? Definitely on the sexy, right? Meet your new best friend, Cultured Creature Beard Balm. Cultured Creature Beard Balm is a game changer made with all natural ingredients like mango butter, shea butter, argan, avocado, jojoba, grape seed, and meadowform seed oil. It nourishes your beard and the skin beneath. Say goodbye to dryness and itchiness and say hello to a soft, well-groomed, and great-smelling beard. Not only does it tame your mane, but it also leaves a subtle, masculine scent with options like Cuban tobacco, sandalwood and bourbon, cedar and leather, and more. Feel confident all day, whether at the office, on a date, or at the gym. It's easy to use. Just rub a small amount between your palms and work it into your beard. Simple and effective, and no mess. Cultured Creature Beard Balm is handmade, organic, and natural. Made by a father-daughter duo with over 20 years of beard care experience. It's packed with vitamins and nutrients and zero additives or preservatives. Ready to transform your beard? Visit refineyourwildside.com and use promo code MAKO10 for an extra 10% off. That's MAACO10. Off your first order. Plus, all Cultured Creature Beard Balm is already 20% off. So that's 30% off your first order. Cultured Creature Beard Balm, where nature meets nurture for the ultimate beard care experience. Don't tame your wild side. Refine it with Cultured Creature Beard Balm. What do you think of that?
You made it.
I did. Well, it only took one take, right? You think you're going to be able to make it look like that was the case?
We'll say it was one take, yeah.
We'll go with that, right?
You know what we need to do?
No, what's that?
Just record you doing it once.
and all
and
the
then
flubs?
I will just put it in.
Oh, my gosh. Todd, did you hear that out there? That's like genius. Why the heck didn't I think of that? Because you're the man, right?
Well, I just...
Oh, my gosh, that's
thinking.
It.
Cause, I mean, you didn't struggle to get through it this time.
Lie. You lie like a rug, man. But thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem.
I struggled more than normal, yes. But
anyway. And the plan is I am going to order some.
Yes. I wasn't going to ask this time, actually. But
I was close today.
But no cigar.
First problem is when I'm at work, there's so many people there that I have horrible service on my phone.
Oh, yeah.
So that hindered me. And then when I was thinking about it, then I got a phone call to go do whatever at the job site. So yeah. That all went out the window.
You sit on a throne of excuses. No, I'm just kidding. Mm-hmm.
That's one thing I do have is
elf line sort
excuses.
Of. No, excuses be gone, right? well, anyway, so yes, Creepies, go out and get you some. We really appreciate the sponsorship, and they are awesome.
Yeah.
All right, so you have the first part of the announcements, right?
Oh, if I may.
If you must, if you may.
Yeah. First announcements are call or text 988 or text HOME, HOME, to 741741 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you or someone you know may be experiencing.
Absolutely, right?
And then also with that, if you or anyone else you know is experiencing some kind of bullying, make sure to access stopbullying.gov for more help and support.
That's right. Did you, I kind of skipped over your special part too.
Well, I can do it right now.
I would love that. Oh, so to finish up, thank you so much for focusing and highlighting the mental health. I think that is, mm-hmm.
It's what we're here for.
I'm being very serious because like, it's good for all of us, but we do. We have to take good care of each other. We have to be there for each other. And when you need help, go get it. So mm-hmm. I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page with that. So I really appreciate you doing that.
As you said earlier,
veer
off into a ditch. We all have those moments.
We were joking before somebody had recommended that we take a minute and do something good and nice for ourselves. And I made the joke at work. Oh, like run yourself into a ditch. And they were that led everybody into kind of a funny, you know, funny conversation. But, you know, it's funny, not funny.
Are you okay?
You're like, are you okay? Is there, yeah, everybody.
Yeah.
We're all good. But yes, good. Sometimes we need help and other times we just need to help each other. So that's our way of doing it, right?
All right. One of our new segments mm-hmm. that I get the honor to read is this week's last but not least.
That's right.
And it goes out to the city of Round Rock, Texas, in the country of Spain.
España.
They have given us one listen each in the last 7 days. So thanks for giving us a listen. And remember, you're not least because you're last.
That's right. I love that. I actually think that's really cute. Mm-hmm. Okay, cute's not a good word for that, but
it's manly.
It's manly. It's special.
That's appreciation.
It's special, right?
Yep. Even even one listen, it amounts to something.
Well, that's what if you dissect all of our listens. I mean, mm-hmm. it's all been one at a time, right? So yeah, it's cool. All right. Well, I am privileged to do the special announcements, right? We have a Mako meet and greet scheduled for Saturday, August 10th. This will be at the horror-themed Scarlet Lane Brewery in McCordsville, Indiana. We will show up around 4 o'clock and be there until whenever. They offer great pizza and, of course, handcrafted beer and for your spooky delight. And this location has the original Sammy Terry dungeon, which takes me to mine and many of our childhoods, which anybody that's grown up in Indiana, that's definitely the case. So come out and see us. And actually, I'm looking forward to that. And that is right around mm-hmm. the corner. We also have a Creeped Out and Haunted live show 2024 at Greenwood Happy Haunts in Greenwood, Indiana. It will be on Saturday, September 21st, and the show will start at 6 p.m. Arrival time starts at 5:15. Our special guest speaker is paranormal investigator and author Austin Lawrence. Tickets are only $10, and they can be pre-purchased or when you arrive the day of show. The options are PayPal at TWHedges312. Venmo is at Todd-Hedges-3. And Cash App is $ToddWilliam12. So that's 1-2. And cash works as well. Just good old-fashioned hard cash, mm-hmm. right? Hard cold. Is it cold? No. Cold hard, right? I said that backwards, didn't I? Cold hard cash.
Mm-hmm.
Hope to see you there for a night of creepy fun.
You know it.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to be there. We're going to be both of these places.
Allegedly.
Right? That's right. Well, by God, we better be, right?
Yeah, if you don't show up to your own event.
Ooh, we got problems, right?
Yeah.
That's right. Yes, we're looking forward to all of that. So, what are we going to do tonight?
We're going to talk about something.
That's right. We're getting at it.
And
are you stalling because you're not sure how to say it?
No.
Oh, good. You know how to say it. Okay, good. Not one of those then, right?
Well, now you got me questioning myself.
Nah. Uh-huh. I set you up, didn't I?
Tonight's topic is Mantino State Hospital.
Like a pro. Whose idea was this?
Mine.
It's a in for Ned, right?
Mm-hmm. And if you're interested, please check out our source links that we used for this topic. So, Sean, do you have a little foundation for us?
I do. It is actually, you're going to be so shocked at this. It's from Wikipedia. I never use Wikipedia anymore.
Never heard of it.
Never. This is, it's located in Illinois. Just kidding, Illinois. Mantino State Hospital, formerly known as, this is a huge difference too, Mantino State Mental Hospital, was a psychiatric hospital located in rural Mantino Township in Kankakee County, Illinois. The facility was authorized in, what does authorized mean? Like you build it and then you have to authorize it?
They authorized to build it, yes.
There you go. Oh, okay. So it was authorized. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. So mm-hmm. It's not like it was built and then it was like, okay, now we authorize you. Okay. So it was authorized in 1927 by the 55th Illinois General Assembly with its first patients, patients arriving in December 1930. That's all Wikipedia has to say about it.
Really?
I'm going to screw up words all night.
Very, very in depth.
Oh, yeah.
Construction of the hospital began in 1929.
That's right.
First patients were transferred there from Kankakee in 1930. They built this because the other hospital was getting overburdened and they needed more room. Unlike other mental institutions, which were primarily contained in buildings, Mantino used a cottage structure. The facility was composed of several cottages, each of which was named for a prominent psychiatrist. The asylum implemented an on-site farm, which was meant to rehabilitate the patients using a form of work therapy. So it sounds like that was like the going thing back then.
We hear that a lot, don't we? Mm-hmm. Which is great, though.
Yeah, it gives them something to do. It's not too terribly challenging that they can grasp it and get some physical mobility mm-hmm. going and a little bit of workout.
You're out in nature.
Yeah.
So they
some
say,
sunlight, you know.
Yeah, vitamin D is good. They say also that you have, you know, you get your hands and your feet and your body in, you know, to contact with the earth or the dirt, you know, and mm-hmm. you're working and toiling, they say, but it's something that's supposed to be very healthy for you, you know, like connecting. So, so I could see how that would be great for, psychiatric patients.
Mm-hmm. The national health budget was slashed in the mid 1930s, yet Mantino kept expanding. The hospital.
Did they have to get authorization for that?
Probably. It's state ran.
Yeah, right. I'm sure.
The hospital added a tuberculosis ward in 1937, because that's what a lot of them did back then.
That's right.
Bringing in hundreds more admits and waves of budget constraints and staff shortages. In 1939, typhoid fever swept through the hospital, killing 60 and infecting 400. Despite the epidemic, the population continued to grow, surpassing the 5,000 person capacity at the end of the decade. So they put a lot of people in here.
Yeah, it ceased operations in 1985, it said. Mm-hmm. So the complex became business rentals, a bank, part of the Illinois Diversatech campus, whatever that is, and even a private residence. That would be kind of creepy, wouldn't it? Although, kind of, you know, dream. But witnesses have reported apparitions of patients and nurses and ghostly voices that come over the non-functional intercom system. So that would be really creepy too, right? Like, this isn't even supposed to work. Paging Dr. Cash.
Yeah, in the 1950s, Mentino State held over 8,000 patients and became the fourth largest mental asylum in the nation.
Oh, wow.
So it was pretty big. It was up there. It made the list. As with all of these places, there was no shortage of abuse and neglect.
That was the outstanding thing to me when we're looking at this.
And that seems to be a going thing, too, with these asylums is... Mm-hmm. On one hand, I get it.
Yeah.
Dealing with these patients, these types of patients, day in and day out, mm-hmm. I can see where you can get frustrated, but still, you got to keep your wits about you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing is that, you know, it is, it's hard to judge. You're right. Because it's a certain time period. You'd like to think the intentions are good, but I guarantee you that not all of them were. This says, many disturbing things took place here, as you can imagine would be the case at a mental hospital during this time period. For example, there were numerous lobotomies performed, shock treatments, fever cabinets, etc. What's a fever cabinet? Is that like keeping somebody in like a hot room or something?
Possibly.
Or cold, possibly. Maybe a cold room. I don't know. Ooh, yeah. That's somebody out there is like, duh, you know, like... Mentino State Hospital was also where many government scientists were sent. While here, they would perform experiments on patients that would be considered highly unethical today. It would not have been pleasant to be a patient here. Fortunately, over the years, mental health treatments have changed drastically. However, that being said, this was the cutting edge during this particular time period. So that is extremely creepy. That's creepy in a whole different way, right?
Yeah, they said patients were often left to fend for themselves and... the stories of patients attacking their caregivers were common at this facility. Even escapes were common there. Nearly 200 patients fled the facility in 1941. It does not say if they got them all back, though. And, of course, reports of sexual abuse were also made public, enraging mental health advocates. That was unfortunately something that ran rampant through a lot of these facilities too. But the worst stories of neglect and abuse paled in the comparison to the human experiments that they performed at the asylum on unwitting patients. Their goal... was to find ways to cure and control various mental illnesses. As Sean mentioned a little few minutes ago, electroshock therapy was one of them. Doctors began using it sometime in 1936 and the electric shock therapy consists of delivering strong jolts to the brain.
Mm-hmm.
In an attempt to control the mental illness. And it's just the fact that they didn't know what to do. They thought mental illness was something that they could fix. And, you know, any idea, good or bad, is an idea.
They threw everything but the kitchen sink at it, honestly. So I looked up fever cabinets. And, of course, what comes up is nothing having to do with that. The closest thing is cabin fever, and that has nothing to do with it either. But so I think what it is pyrotherapy, heat therapy, or hypothermia therapy. So that's
they probably put them into a fever.
Artificial fever is a method of treatment by raising the body temperature, sustaining elevated body temperature using fever. In general, the body temperature was maintained at basically 105 degrees. So that was just, but yeah, that's kind of interesting. I mean, it sounds like they use it for different treatments, including this one. So, so that doesn't sound like any fun.
So yeah, during World War II, the experiments got even more sinister.
Uh-oh.
Patients were unknowingly injected with malaria in an attempt to find a remedy for the disease. Doctors tried all sorts of experimental medicines, leaving the patients to deal with the highly unusual side effects. So they basically used them as guinea pigs.
That's awful. I mean, honestly, I know we talk about some terrible stuff, but we, every time we come into these, you know, hospitals and even prisons too, I know the prisons, we get a lot of horrible stories, but you can, this can really help you to understand why things get stuck here. Mm-hmm. You know, if energies are getting stuck in these places, this is a good reason, because there's so much trauma in one spot that's, you know, focused energetically. So I could see it.
Oh yeah. And as you said earlier, it was lobotomies.
Mm-hmm.
If you know anything about lobotomies, they were very barbaric.
Oh yeah.
Drill a hole in your head and put a blender in there and mush everything up.
There's lobotomies, lobectomies, they're two different things, but they are obviously now, they still do those nowadays, but they're a lot more precision. Yes. Back then they were just like barbaric's mm-hmm. a good way to put it. It's like, oh, but it's the way that it's described and shown, and I've watched recreations of it mm-hmm. and how they talk about how they do it. And it's like, that's just disturbing. But
and
yeah.
then, and they would do them to help obviously try to cure the mental illness, mm-hmm. Like schizophrenia, bipolar disorder. Sometimes it'd work.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it would turn them into a vegetable.
It'd leave you in a vegetative state.
Exactly. Well, and that's,
so yeah, that worked.
Depends. Yeah, if you want to call that working, but yeah.
Yeah, very extreme
right.
way
right.
of handling the problem.
Mom's good. She's just not going to be much good.
Yeah. right. Yeah, it's most of the time awful. That because of, you know, I believe the lobotomies in the frontal lobe, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it would definitely mess with your mental, emotional stasis,
mm-hmm.
and that. But you would remain typically with your motor skills and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But you're just emotionally not there.
Yeah,
you're just
super flat. We call that flat affect. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, not good things. And like you said, I mean, it's on rare occasions, it's still a common practice, but it's much more precise, much
yeah.
more precision, less invasive.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see a reason to, you know, keep you utilizing the technique and everything, but in a much more scientifically controlled and
environment, right?
Smarter way of doing things.
Can you imagine being the first person to be like, to think that this was a good idea? I mean,
yeah.
Honestly, you'd think that people that heard about this were like, dear God, no, don't do that. That sounds, mm-hmm. you know, sounds like something the Egyptians would do while they were taking the brain out
well,
of
it.
Well,
it was like what they said,
cavity, but
was it, Indiana State Sanatorium?
Mm-hmm.
They would open the rib cage and remove ribs and stuff to help tuberculosis patients breathe better.
Yeah. Waverly, I think.
Waverly, I believe, did that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there was all kind of different techniques and different mm-hmm. ways, but yeah, it's extreme to say the least, right? It's funny because we've talked about different places in Illinois, one of them being Alton. I know that was, you know, that's a big one because that's supposed to be the most haunted city in the country, if not the world. And it says that as far as the haunted places in Illinois goes, this is considered to be one of the most haunted hospitals. It's funny because, you know, we make light of this a lot too, because mm-hmm. it feels like when we report on these things, no, this is the most haunted. No. This one is definitely more haunted. This one's got to be even more haunted than that, you know? So it's like,
oh, yeah.
That begs the question or the need for us to, you know, well, why don't we go and find out ourselves? So
mm-hmm.
that's why it's truly why we start to go investigate, because mm-hmm. we want to know on these things and just kind of see if we can have any kind of experiences or we can add to it. So, and we have in some of these places, so
mm-hmm.
I have to say.
Yeah, back in the 60s and 70s, the population consisted mainly of elderly alcoholics who voluntarily committed themselves to the hospital, and homeless from Chicago area who lacked any form of documentation were sent here. The hospital, there are people who were too insane to go to prison, so guess what? They got sent there too.
Mm-hmm.
They're too dangerous to be released back on the streets. So state officials made the decision in 1983 to start closing Mantino State Hospital down. And the doors officially closed in 1985.
Mm-hmm. Mid-80s, right?
Mm-hmm.
It says, since the hospital's closure, many visitors have come back with strange stories. They claim to have seen apparitions of patients and nurses and heard voices over long defunct intercoms, like we said before. Since Morgan Cottage, the last abandoned building on campus, was demolished in 2015, only these tales remain to satiate the curious. Like Peoria State Hospital, Bantino State Hospital was originally laid out in a quote-unquote cottage plan, which meant the patients were housed in a series of separate buildings rather than in one single institution. It took several years after the purchase of the property in 1927 for the sprawling mental hospital to be completed. When it first opened, Mantino accommodated 5,500 patients and 760 staff. It did not take long for tragedy to strike the hospital. In an incident that Time magazine referred to as the Mantino Madness, 384 patients and staff came down with typhoid fever. You were talking about this mm-hmm. before. 47 died in 1939. Believe the affliction to be nothing more than a common case of diarrhea. But state welfare agents stepped in as the number of ill dramatically increased. Panic gripped the hospital. So it's interesting in that from all that, and I like the fact that they called it Mantino Madness, is that, oh no, we've got it all under control until we don't.
Yeah.
And then, but that's pretty common. That happens throughout human history. And, but it's one of those things that's not just, you know, patients died, but mm-hmm. staff died as well. I mean, mm-hmm. that's what it was. I mean, that is, it's so awful. You know, some of the things that can happen obviously to us. But again, like we said earlier, it is one of the reasons that energy gets stuck there.
Yeah. The facility was definitely overcrowded, and then, people were victimized, and, the combination of potent psychiatric drugs, mental illness, abuse, and human experimentation left a very dark aura over the facility. Thousands died from disease, brutal experiments, and sometimes outright murder. I'm sure there's a handful of that. I don't know if any of it was necessarily reported as murder. Who knows? We'd have to do a complete deep dive on it to exactly. figure that out.
That's a two-part episode, right? Yeah. And we don't do those very often anymore.
many were buried in the cemetery, and their ghosts still haunt the premise.
That's a great place to look at, right?
Though it does not say if the cemetery is on the property. I can only assume it was, because a lot of
or
those
at least
places
close
did,
to it, yeah.
But yeah.
Normally they're somewhere adjacent to mm-hmm. the property, at least, and a lot of times located kind of away from, you know, where people can see too much, mm-hmm. but...
Those who dare to enter the Mantino State Hospital might come face to face with some seriously spooky spirits. Excuse me. Shadow people are commonly seen roaming around the building. Love those. Others have heard disembodied voices calling out to them, as you were saying, through the PA system and mm-hmm. everything else. Some have even felt a cold hand pulling on their clothing. I have yet to experience that one.
Yeah. No, I don't think I want that one.
But most...
It'd be a warm hand. I'm going to go with warm.
most paranormal experiences aren't material. Most people simply feel a strange presence following them around the facility, patiently watching as they explore the old asylum.
That's nice. So I'm thinking about the cold hand. If it's a cold hand... Can you put it around my neck or my shoulders when they're sore, you know, or maybe sometimes across my forehead?
But as you said, 2015, it got demolished.
Yeah. So that's what I'm trying. I was just going to ask you that because that's what I keep seeing. So it doesn't, that's the funny thing. We get all these pictures and, you know, you can kind of see how it deteriorated. But yeah, this is, so when we ask whether we're going to go visit this place, obviously we're not. So. This is interesting because it says Mantino has attracted many curiosity seekers since its closure, including its share of ghost hunters. While throughout its history, patients at Mantino State Hospital frequently tried to escape. A new generation of men and women are desperate to find their way inside. Accounts of ghostly sounds and encounters have filtered down from those adventures or the foolhardy enough to explore the old tunnels and buildings. So there's tunnels too. A lot of these buildings have that. Yeah. I wonder if those are still, if everything else is destroyed. Over the years, I have had many reports of people who entered the old building and saw nurses and doctors and even patients still dressed in their gowns. So one somebody that's familiar, obviously, with the property was telling this particular article. Amateur investigators have taken dozens of strange photographs in the old buildings. The quiet town of Mentino has done its best to erase the memory of this place, but there will always be stories. Morgan Cottage was the last remaining abandoned building on the former mental hospital campus. For years, urban explorers, vandals, and amateur paranormal investigators sought out the building at the last remnant of the old hospital they could safely explore. By May 2015, the building had been lost to the wrecking ball.
Wow. Yeah, I'm looking through all the old pictures. Very, as far as how it looks in this state, it reminds me of Waverly Hills. But yes, this one's more severe than Indiana State Sanatorium, as far as like this one big, looks like a community room or something like that. Like mm-hmm. the sunlight's coming through the roof, so the roof was completely compromised. Debris all over the floor.
Yeah, so it wasn't safe anymore anyway. Yeah.
Trees overgrown and like leaning up against the building and going through the windows. And so yeah, it was not well taken care of after it closed down in 85. They just sort of
so 85 to 2015. That's what. Yeah, and that doesn't sound like a lot of time, but it is. It's plenty of time for nature to take over.
Yeah, and if you're not maintaining it, you got a bad storm that comes through and rips the shingles or the roof off of a building. I mean, you're not using the building, so nobody's going to pay to repair it.
There's no TLC.
So it just stays
no
in that state.
No tender loving care.
Kids come by and start breaking the windows out.
Well, yeah. Vandalism.
They stay broken, so weather and everything gets in there. Then you get vermin going in there and tearing stuff up, and a lot can happen in 20 years worth of time.
Mm-hmm.
30 years worth of time by the time it got tore down, right? Yeah, 95, 05, 30, yeah. 15, yeah, mm-hmm. 30 years.
Yep, 30 years.
I can do math.
That's right. Good job. Yeah. On a Friday evening, right?
So, yeah, nature can definitely take stuff back really quick.
That's good to point out. I think we pointed out, but it's Friday evening.
Yeah.
It's Friday.
With my vacation coming up, we had to do an extra evening of recording.
We did. Yeah. And we have
few brain cells between us
but that we have left. I like this, and it is kind of sad and endearing. It says, we are devastated by this from this article on the Daily Journal in Kankakee. We are devastated by the loss of Morgan Cottage, Travis Dahlhauser of the Greater Rock Fort Appreciation and Ghost Group, which is the acronym is GRAGG, G-R-A-G-G. So that's not as good as MAKO, but you know. It's a loss for people who loved haunted history and exploring amazing places. Without our experiences at the Morgan Cottage, we won't be doing what we love doing. I wish I knew our last visit would be the last time we'd see it. It was, I wish I knew our last visit would be the last time we'd see it. It was truly the most haunted location we've experienced. I'm sad to think people in the future will not be able to experience firsthand what lied in those amazing ruins. They'll only be able to read about it. So, yeah, that is kind of sad, right?
Yeah, I'm reading. Let's see. Saying patients. I guess the time did a news article on this at one time. Patients lay moaning in bed. Others, whipped by mad fear, beat against the screened windows, grappled with attendants and every night kitchen boys and orderlies disappeared. Over 45 ran away in all. So I guess that was Time Magazine referred to the Mentino Madness. I think you touched on that, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's 384 patients and staff came down with typhoid. Yep.
Yep.
So yeah, when that was happening, that's an excerpt out of that article. People laying and moaning and yeah, wasn't good.
I like the fact that a lot of these articles, they, when you look into a certain place, you also get, it branches into other haunted locations, either within that area or within the state. It's kind of interesting. It says the Windy City is home to some of America's most haunted and terrifying haunts. Nobody knows why Chicago is so haunted. I do. It's all those mobsters, right? But and that burning that happened, right? Chicago fire. But the city is home to some of the nation's most famous ghost serial killers and graveyards. Resurrection Mary is one of Chicago's infamous urban legends. Bachelor's Grove Cemetery, which we've covered before, and H.H. Holmes' Murder Castle is one of the obviously infamous and well-known serial killers that we have covered as well. That was a two-part series that we did.
So, yeah, I wish
we could go.
I wish we could go.
Yeah, we can't even discuss that part of it.
Yeah, I wish it was sort of halfway taken care of, like Waverly or something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was definitely not a good part of our history, but it's history nonetheless.
It's and looking at the pictures so you can get an idea of what it did look like before it was completely demolished. And it's a lot like what we've seen in other places. But it's definitely more, I mean, those places are still standing and the ceilings aren't completely falling in. And it's, honestly though, some of the places we've been in are not super safe and they've been, you know, we've been told about that and, or what areas are not safe. And so it's one of those things that, you know, one of the pictures that got me of this place is like a toilet that looked like somebody just ripped it off the wall and threw it down on the ground. It's like,
I'm not using this.
Yeah, exactly. This is not mine. Now I'm sure that was, over the 30-year period and not some patient, but,
or I think I saw the same
angry ghost hunter, right? That picture. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I saw the same one, black and white.
Take that
and
toilet.
It
yes.
It looked like it had like a, maybe granite dividers.
Yes.
But they weren't big, huge dividers.
No,
maybe a foot higher than the stool. So, like, if you're in there using the bathroom, I mean, you bump knuckles and high five each other, and good job.
That sounds a little uncomfortable.
Yeah,
only slightly, right?
A little bit, yeah.
So we're going. If it were still up, we're
going in our minds.
We're going. Yeah, here we go. Right. Well, is there anything else that you want to cover?
No, I think we hit everything. Okay. Yeah, I struggled with this one because it is really interesting. It's sort of up there with Waverly and other asylums like that. But there's not a whole lot of information to be found.
Yeah.
I think some of it has to do with you can't go investigate it anymore. Mm-hmm. It's been demolished. But nonetheless, I enjoyed it. I liked it. Still has a spookiness to it.
I think it's fun that that's what all three of us are really good at is finding the obscure. Mm-hmm. And there are so many of these places. Some of them still standing, some of them not. But it is, you know, it's something that I like. I enjoy it because I've certainly never heard of this place. It's also, and you know, I know I say this a lot, but I like the history of these places. I
mean,
it's common history. Obviously it is the thread that kind of holds a lot of these places together. And, you know, we end up talking about, you know, the horrors of it, but then also the good intentions behind it. And they were trying to, you know, help recover these people or rehab them. And sometimes it just sounded like they were just trying to contain them, you know? Yeah. So it's all over the place. But again, we weren't back then. We don't know what it was like. We don't know exactly what some of their intentions were, but it does look like at some of those periods, like especially World War II, when there were just, it sounded, barbaric. You use that word. I think that was a good word,
on top of that, they didn't know any better either. They thought that they're on top of cutting edge technology and techniques and, so, I mean, it's a double-edged sword. Yeah, it was barbaric and brutal, but yet, in some case, they didn't really know what they were doing.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
They say
just like
ignorance is bliss, right?
Yeah. Well, just like saying that they injected them with MRSA and, you know, trying to use different new pharmaceuticals to see if they'd cure whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, guinea pigging them. But not to defend the doctors and everybody that was there, but I mean, you got to put yourself in that time period too. I mean, they probably didn't know any better. They're trying to do better for society, trying to do better for the patients. But man, it was a barbaric way of doing it.
Yeah, I'm trying, and I try to do that too. Is look from their vantage point. It's difficult though. I'll be honest with you.
You always have monsters. I mean,
that's right.
Always,
I guarantee there were.
The sexual abuse and neglect. And all that, yeah, those are monsters.
Any torture,
not
torture or
taking care of them, but
harm that was intentionally.
Yeah, but the medical side of it. Okay. Yeah, I mean it's a double edged sword. They're trying to do better, but then they don't know how to do it correctly. Yeah, I mean, they just don't have the technology. They don't have the know-how. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. All I can say is that I am sure glad that I have not been in one of these hospitals. And
oh, yeah.
God bless the souls that did have to go through here, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm sure, you know, we look at a lot of the time the darker side of these places. I'm sure there was some goodness to it as well.
Yeah, I'm sure there's, you know, some people that are like, hey, I'm on the cutting
edge.
There
was a farm, yeah. You know, and the ways that they, you know, really integrated some positive aspects. I'm sure there were people that were helped as well, yeah. You know, throughout the history here.
Well, but, I mean, we see it in our field, and we've both been recently shown examples of that.
Yeah.
You have the good, you have the bad. So I'm sure, you know, I mean, there were some employees there that were there. Their intentions were good, and they're trying with everything they had to do the right things with the tools and information that they had at that time. But, I mean, obviously you had monsters there too.
That's right.
So
it's true. And, but like I said, and so I'm glad there were places like this, because it sounded like, as far as the history, it was like, okay, things were going well, things were good, they were getting good funding, you know, it wasn't overcrowding. And then all of a sudden, oh, we're going to cut budgets, that's not good. Then there's overcrowding, something like the typhoid epidemic hits, you know, all these different things happen. And then all, you know, it's a slippery slope.
Yeah, we're going to send
spiral.
Criminally insane to you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, you're doing well with these. Let's, you know, put a little more on your plate. And that's what's happened.
Now, I did read a little bit into that while you're doing some of it. They did, like, sort of segregate them from the common people that were already there. They sort of gave them their own wing and kept them away.
Yeah.
So they try to, you know, do right and protect everybody there, but you can only do so much.
Yeah, I know. But, yeah, like I said, so I think this is a cool place, and it's not far from us, at least the remnants.
The grass. So,
like I said, easy to visit if we were in 2014.
Yeah. Well, we're to that part of the show.
Oh, my gosh.
Where you take it over.
That's right. Oh, I just take it over?
Yeah, I'm going to go to bed.
Good
now,
night.
Is it going to be a middle-aged moment? Or a middle-aged dark side?
I may have already helped preemptively tell you, but
I don't know. I
you don't remember?
That's
right. I think I might have mentioned it, but
it's a dark topic, so I bet it's a middle-aged moment.
Oh, well, it's not. It's a middle-aged dark side, yeah.
0-2.
Dang. try again next time, right?
I'm not as good as Todd.
Nah, that's right. That's all right. This one is one of my favorite artists, is Phil Collins. I do really enjoy Phil Collins.
Who's that?
You know who Phil Collins is, right? Genesis was originally the drummer and then became the lead singer, and I guess the drummer still. But he has, and then sadly enough, recently he is, you know, his health is worse. He's had to stop touring and all those kind of things. But his music lives on. Like, he had so many hits throughout the 80s. It's pretty profound. You know, Genesis and then him in his own solo career. So this is Another Day in Paradise. And I consider this to be a dark side because it's pretty somber. But it was really meant to kind of get the attention of the culture, and, you know, really get us to refocus on helping each other, and which is something big we do here. So that's why I thought this would be a good one. She calls out to the man in the street, "Sir, can you help me? It's cold and I've nowhere to sleep. Is there somewhere you can tell me?" He walks on, doesn't look back. He pretends he can't hear her. Starts to whistle as he crosses the street. Seems embarrassed to be there. "Oh, think twice, because it's another day for you and me in paradise. Oh, think twice, because it's another day for you and me in paradise." Think about it, right? She calls out to the man in the street. He can see she's been crying. She's got blisters on the soles of her feet. She can't walk, but she's trying. Oh, think twice, because it's another day for you and me in paradise. Oh, think twice. It's just another day for you and me. You and me in paradise. So, you know, that whole part. I love the bridge. Oh, Lord, is there nothing more anybody can do? Oh, Lord, there must be something you can say. So that is like her crying out, you know, still. She's been crying out for help. Nobody's helping her. You know, now she's praying basically just begging for help. You can tell from the lines on her face, you can tell that she's been there, probably been moved on from every place because she didn't fit in there. Oh, think twice, because it's another day for you and me in paradise. Oh, think twice. It's just another day for you and me in paradise. It's just another day, right? And I can't help but sing it. But it just goes on, obviously, with that same theme and idea. But those different scenes is just are so heartbreaking and you know, it's terrifying to think about if you were in those situations. Mm-hmm. And any of us could be in a heartbeat. If we really thought about it, your life, you know, it could be awesome, amazing, and just smooth sailing and then just hit a brick wall. And I was thinking the reason this one kind of came to my mind as I was thinking about on this topic is that, you know, like I'll be honest with you, and you can kind of tell the undertones of today, and I shared them with you before we started recording. I had a bad day. Like, mm-hmm. I've had a pretty good week, honestly. And today it just kind of, I jokingly told somebody, they asked me how I was doing, and I said, how many levels of hell are there? That's 9. I said, I'm at about a 7.5. And then by the time I reached here, I think I was a 9+. So I was just, but when I stop and think about all those things, it's not important. Mm-hmm. None of it's, you know, it's all going to take care of itself eventually or in some way. And a lot of it is out of my control. Right.
Yeah.
And the fact that I give it so much attention and trying to make a difference shows that I care, which is a good thing. And I try to reflect on that. But when I come across this kind of a message, it's like, you know, it humbles you, you know. And so I want to, you know, anybody out there, I guarantee there are other people who had bad days today or will have them tomorrow or the next day or when they're listening to this or, you know, so it is, you know. There can be bad days, there can be bad weeks, there can be bad months, there can be bad parts of lifetimes in them. So, but we have to endure, you know, like I said, we talk a lot about, you know, all the help and stuff that we can get. So, but I still think that is so important, you know, that we take good care of each other. So I have to say, we didn't really officially do any shout outs, but I'm going to shout out, we do this every once in a while, but probably not enough, but I'm going to shout out to you and Todd because I still say that this podcast, at least for me, and I know for you guys a lot of times, it is still a way to channel those kind of days or those kind of time periods and reflect and really try to figure out and remember what's most important, you know?
Well, and the podcast, it's sort of like sitting down with a good book.
I thought you could say good buddy.
That too.
You're like, well,
or like, you know, going to a restaurant with a friend and just having a good conversation. I mean, that's more or less what it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just sit down, you get involved with it, and all your problems and thoughts that were irritating you through the day go to the wayside because you're focused on doing this.
Yeah.
And it just refocuses your attention to something completely different, and it allows your brain to move on a little bit and let go of what was, you know, bad for that particular day.
Yeah, that's right.
Or week, or month, or year.
Exactly, I know. I put all that in there like, ugh. Yeah. But honestly, though, that's what we're trying to do is... you know, there are times where we get real, and this tonight apparently is one of them. But we also want you to know that we're real people too, and things happen, and it is something that it's okay, you know. And it's, we hope that whatever you're dealing with, and you may be having a great day, like when you're listening to this, like, dude, I'm good. That's awesome. And then spread that goodness, right? But be prepared for the next time that it goes south. And just have your tools ready. Have your coping skills ready.
Yeah.
We were just talking about before we started recording, Pete Peterson helped us with our last main episode and our many, actually. And so he and I were talking after we were texting back and forth. I told him how much I appreciated him. He appreciated us. And he was telling me that, catching me up with something funny, that he got caught in a downpour biking the other day. We had some, I thought they were unexpected anyway, storms. And so it must have been to him too, because he was out biking. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, it was awful at first. And it was just like, oh, I'm wet. And, you know, it's like being a cat, you know, getting mm-hmm. wet. And he's like, but after a while, once it, that first initial soak, you know, of being completely saturated, it's kind of refreshing. Mm-hmm. And so I told him, I said, one of my life mottos is just embrace the suck. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, so whoever needs to hear that out there, embrace that suck.
You grab a hold of it. You give just, it a big hug.
Just give it a big hug. Yep. You and I've talked about that too before, yeah. like swimming in buckets of poo, right?
No.
Come on, get in there together and then let's figure out a way to get out, right?
Sometimes it's unavoidable and the only way is to just trudge through it.
That's right.
And you'll be better at the other end. Yes, you just have to get through it.
Yeah, that's like Shawshank Redemption, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can still see him like climbing through the mile of crap coming out the other side like, oh, I'm free. So we'll all get there, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Like
well,
I said, I mean, some days are good, some days are bad, and just got to get through it.
That's right.
Yep.
Just do it, right? Hey, that sounds like a good slogan. That's almost as
we
good as
use that.
Go get you some, right? And keep it creepy. All right. Well, thank you for allowing me to say all that. And mm-hmm. you now have the second part of the announcements.
Yeah, I do. Second announcements are as follows. Follow us on our social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, X, Rumble. You can email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. That's two A's in Mako. And make sure you hit that subscribe button. Give us a 5-star rating because it's the only one that's available.
That's right.
And leave a review if the app allows you to. We sell all kinds of merch, so go get you some. You just have to get in contact with us through Instagram, Facebook, or email us. If you're interested in anything, we got hats, t-shirts, blankets,
oh,
stickers,
yeah.
whatever you want, coffee mugs.
You're going down my old road, aren't you? You're hitting in teepee, I know.
And then please check out our Friday Fright videos on all of our socials.
Nice. Thank you for doing that. I really appreciate it. All right. What do you got for us then, Nate?
You know, this one was a little heavy. I don't really have a witty rap, but that's a wrap.
You're just going to cautiously set it down and back away. I think that's a great piece of advice. Well, we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to episode 176 and our discussion on Manteno State Hospital. So until next time, Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.